You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Noah Kahn. Dana loves him. Very, very much.
See you when it rains.
A story from Fox 4. Wyandotte County commissioners last night gave their recommendation on bringing a popular travel center to Kansas City, Kansas. The discussion of bringing a Buc-ee's to KCK continued during a city planning commission meeting.
Yes, please.
What happens if we get a Buc-ee's and Buckner?
Well, if Bill Brooks is bringing us the traffic report. Car accident
what
near
Buc-ee's on Broadway.
Buc-ee's out by Butler. My name is Bill Brooks. Doing the traffic. They want to put it out not far from the Legends. It would be 70,000 square feet with 120 gas pumps.
I would not like the task of cleaning the gas pumps.
Okay.
Is that a two-day task?
They typically have pretty large staffs.
Buc-ee's is known for its clean bathrooms, its food, its fuel pumps, and its iconic mascot. By the way, it passed overwhelmingly.
Is it a beaver?
It's a buck-tooth beaver.
It is a buck-tooth beaver.
You guys aren't being very nice.
Nope.
I want to do an interview with Bill Brooks.
I do too, but we have to do the interview only enunciating our B's like that. We would just have to do it. We'd have to get through it. I could do it. I could take that.
And then when we're done, we'll say, Bill, will you ever come back?
He'll hang up on you after 3 seconds. Nah, I'm not doing this.
All right. We have an update.
God.
We have an update out of California. I don't know the time. I keep looking to find the time, and I cannot. Please be tomorrow afternoon during the body of our show. The Menendez brothers' family says they are hopeful that a resentencing is imminent after the district attorney has called a news conference for tomorrow. A number of relatives of Eric and Lyle Menendez have been invited by the Los Angeles district attorney to attend the event tomorrow.
So family members.
Yes, family members of Eric and Lyle have been invited to attend this event at the Criminal Justice Center courthouse. The family is expecting a significant favorable update in the case. They are anticipating that the DA will finally recommend that Eric, who is now 53, and Lyle, who is 56, be resentenced after spending more than three decades behind bars for murdering their parents, Jose and Kitty Menendez, in their Beverly Hills mansion in 1989. Here's why this is important. We know that a news conference has been scheduled for tomorrow. It is on the courthouse steps. All of the family have been called in. This is 100% going to be a resentencing. But I asked Scott during the break, can you just resentence someone willy-nilly all these years later without a new trial? Like, how does that work if the DA decides we're just going to resentence somebody? We can't even in Missouri get someone off death row who did not commit the crime that we all know did not commit the crime, because the attorney general steps in and goes, no, wait, not so fast. So how can a DA just say we're going to sentence them to time served?
Wasn't Kevin Strickland sort of in a roundabout way resentenced when he was released? I mean, now granted, the argument was made he'd never committed the crime. They would argue that the Menendez brothers did kill their parents, but what was the real crime that was committed?
The sexual trauma and molestation of both of those boys at the hands of mom and dad, had that evidence been allowed at second trial.
Which it is a crime in and of itself that evidence was not.
It was suppressed. It was allowed during the first trial.
I agree with you.
Hung jury.
That.
It was suppressed during the second trial. And so I think looking through the lens of today, if you retried them based on everything we know and the evidence and family members saying that as young as age 9, those boys confided in family that they were being molested, the end result would never have been what it was, which was initially, by the way, the death penalty.
I remember.
And then life in prison.
No, and I would make the argument, if all of that is true, and I don't have any reason to doubt it, these family members who are not the Menendez brothers coming forward and saying, you know, they told me at the age of 9 that they would argue over who had to go sleep in mommy's bed when daddy was out of town.
And that one of the Menudo brothers from that band,
Menudo band members, yeah,
no connection to Eric and Lyle whatsoever, came out sometime in the 90s or early 2000s and said that Jose Menendez, a label record executive, mm-hmm. raped one of those band members.
Right, when he was 14.
He had no reason to come forward and say that, but sure. came forward as a survivor and said, this happened to me.
Now, I do think that the Menendez brothers did commit a crime. That crime was
100% they shot their mom and dad.
It was probably involuntary or voluntary manslaughter. But if the allegations of sexual abuse are true, I don't think it was first. I certainly don't think it was first degree murder. And you might, and this is just pure speculation on our part, you might have the DA in Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles, right? Yeah, it was in Beverly Hills. Saying that we want to go back to court, resentence them on the charges that they were either convicted of, or we want a new trial. And
which they would never retry. The outcome would be, as a prosecutor, you have to be reasonably certain that the outcome would be very different if you presented the jury with the evidence of what was going on in that
house. What I'm saying is the DA could make the argument, we want to retry the Menendez brothers, but on a charge of voluntary manslaughter, for which, even if convicted, they would be released on time served.
Long ago served that sentence. So then why retry them?
Then you probably wouldn't. I mean, if a judge agreed, okay, you can retry them, then you would just drop the charges because even if we got a conviction,
They've already served their time.
Yeah, that's right.
It's tomorrow. If that happens within the body of this program, we will carry that news conference live.
I think the most interesting component of that entire story, and who's your source on that?
Oh, it's all over, but Vanity Fair okay. broke it.
Reputable. The fact that they've invited family members of the Menendez brothers, I think, is the most telling part of it. That clearly would indicate that this is going to be a news conference in their favor.
Could they be granted the option to take an Alford plea and be released on time served?
They would have to be resentenced because an Alford plea, while you're not pleading guilty, you're certainly not saying you're not guilty.
You're acknowledging the state has enough evidence to convict you. Among those said to be attending the news conference tomorrow are the brother's aunt, her children. Those are the cousins that testified in the first trial. The boys had told them this was going on.
And the aunt wanted to testify in the second trial to what she had been told but wasn't allowed.
Yep.
Very interesting.
And how do judges go about deciding? This is a bigger issue.
It is. Who decides? I said this to Scott during the break. I said, okay, so let's say our prosecutor here decided, rightly so, that one of the prisoners who we know to be innocent, we're just going to call a news conference and do a resentencing. It doesn't work like that here. Here, the attorney general's office freaks out and fights it every step of the way, even though we know there's real innocence. So how can the DA there just say, we're just going to resentence him?
Well, I don't think they can. That's my point. They're going to have to argue before a judge who is going to have to either throw out the conviction, alter the sentencing. And this is if it goes the way you think it, and I think it's probably going to go, where it's going to be favorable tomorrow for the Menendez brothers. This is just the first step in a long walk. You can't just say, well, I'm the DA now, and I want them resentenced. And then a judge says, okay, well, let's do time served and let him out. You can't do that.
So there, under Penal Code 1172.1, the DA can consider whether someone who was convicted suffered, quote, pre-conviction psychological trauma or physical abuse if they were given a harsh sentence compared to the other cases, and whether or not they could be considered a threat to society. The answer, of course, there is no. Those boys do not pose a threat to anyone today in society.
And there are going to be people who are listening to this program right now who are saying, screw them. They were both over the age of 18. They could have left the house. They didn't have to kill their parents, blah, blah, blah. Partially true, yes. But let me ask you this, and maybe this is just the way that we think in America. If this was two 18-year-old and 19-year-old sisters who were routinely raped by their father, we would have incredible sympathy for them.
Correct.
And they probably would have never even gone to prison.
And in fact, the first jury that was a hung jury split right down gender lines, with the mothers and the women on that jury believing that this happened and wanted manslaughter. It was a hung jury. Mm-hmm. It was the men back in 1989. I don't know whether we were burying our head in the sand with respect to the white picket fence and the rich people that this could never happen behind closed doors. The men could not believe or would not believe that a father could do that to a son.
And I think at the time of this trial, it would also have been an argument that there's no way that this could have happened to the daughters. In 2024, with 2024 glasses, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. 913-586-7798. A news conference has been called for tomorrow. The time we do not have yet. Hopefully we'll have a better idea of when this news conference is going to be before the end of the show today. But family members of the Menendez brothers have been, including an aunt and two cousins, who were apparently made aware by the brothers that they were being sexually abused by their father and to a lesser extent, but still to an extent, by mom, or she at least turned a blind eye to the sexual assaults that was allegedly taking place in the house. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Fair point. Wouldn't retrying them be double jeopardy? Probably.
No, but you can grant someone a new trial. That's not double jeopardy.
From 3660, these are the same dudes who cried hysterically that their parents were murdered. Then when they got caught, the abuse story comes out. This was never reported in counseling sessions prior to the murder. Only came out when it was convenient. It's very hard to believe these brothers.
Really quick, back to the double jeopardy thought. If they threw out the first trial and retried them, that would not be double jeopardy. It's if they were released for serving their time and then they were charged again for the same crime.
I think the wider point is that society did not talk about these types of crimes. And by crimes, I mean the horrors those boys suffered. Society did not talk about those kinds of crimes back then.
Did they not? Is this texter right, though, that when they would go to counseling sessions, they
even
did
after
not,
the murders, Scott, the boys between the two of them said, "We can't. We're not going to bring this up. It was embarrassing. It was. They felt shame." If you go back and watch that trial, and I can't stomach watching their testimony about what happened to them. I cannot stomach watching it.
Now, that was allowed in the first
trial.
That
is not acting.
That was allowed in the first trial, but they were not allowed to testify to that in the second
one,
correct?
There is no way, and people that were in that room, there is no way they made that up.
Barb in Odessa. Barb, hello.
So, hi, honey.
Hi.
Listen, the thing is, nobody knows what went on in that house with those boys. And the suffering they went through, I know a lot of people think just because, you know, they did a crime and they're wrong. But there's a lot of circumstances now that's coming out that should have come out then. And I think they covered up a lot of things that the boys would have been innocent. I really do. But, you know, that's, I don't know, it's my thought. I have a question to ask you. I signed up for the tournament, but they won't let me get a ticket to be on the team. They said they're full.
I don't think that's true. We still have some slots.
Did you?
Yeah.
You just come, Barb, you just come spectate, and we will be so thrilled to see your face.
Well, that's what I'm going to do then. I'll just come down and see you guys and talk to you then.
Okay. Barb, can't wait to see you, sweetheart.
All right. Have a safe day.
Okay. News conference is California time tomorrow, 1 p.m. That will be 3 p.m. here.
We know what we're doing at 3 p.m.
We've got 1 hour secured.
We're doing it live. We're doing it live.
Okay, Bill O'Reilly. Steve in North Kansas City. Hello, Steve.
I want to make 2 points, and this is when boys are molested or sexually abused, they historically and documentedly, they do not talk about it. It is so shameful to them that they are easy victims because they will never disclose it. And so They're not disclosing it to the psychiatrist at the beginning. You know, this is their secret, and they look at themselves as little macho men, and they don't want people to know this about them. The second thing is that in the documentary, at least, these boys had come of age, and now they were concerned that now that they had come of age, and especially since the older one had been somewhat protecting or trying to protect the younger one,
yeah,
that he was going to go public. And so if they feared that, a father that would do this to his children and, mm-hmm, and was in that high profile position, that if this were something to be made public, that what he might do to them. And so the day before this happened, they were going on this cruise out in the ocean, and they were worried that something might happen to him there. And they were afraid of him because they had by this time had understood truly what they had been through, and they were considering going public, and they thought that their dad might harm them.
A man, by the way, Steve, who was known to be violent.
Rosie O'Donnell is one of the people who will be in attendance tomorrow. That's significant for one reason only. She is a staunch supporter of the Menendez brothers. Also in attendance tomorrow will be their attorney, Mark Garagos.
So, and is Leslie Abrams still...
Clearly, this is going to be...
Still living? I believe she is.
Who's Leslie Abrams?
Their original attorney, who's so just valiantly fought for those boys. And if you have not read her book, it's years old.
Doesn't say anything about her
book detailing that case and that trial. I still can't get it out of my head. And I think I was in college when I read it.
So clearly this news conference tomorrow is going to be in their favor.
Oh, yeah. It's just procedurally, what does it mean and
right,
how do things move forward?
Two dozen family members will be invited to have been invited to the news conference. Two dozen.
Yep.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Steve the Third. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Huh. 40% of Americans pretend to be influencers on vacation, according to new research. A survey of 2,000 social media users found that these respondents would take vlog-style videos, post more than when they were not on vacation, and caption their posts creatively.
Yep.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I don't find myself featured in pictures very often, and there were a lot taken of me over the weekend, and my significant other, partner, girlfriend.
Thank you, Sam.
May or may not have been posting way more than she normally posts on a certain social media site about our vacation.
Okay, speaking of photos, could we please talk about the Heidi Klum thing? Have you seen these?
The lingerie pics with her daughter?
Yes.
This isn't the first time she's done this, by the way.
I don't, like,
they... It's like the fifth.
Both look absolutely incredible.
But they look fantastic.
This wasn't, like, for a magazine. They just got stripped down to their underwear and mm-hmm, took a mother...
Simmer down in there, buddy.
...daughter bra and panties shoot.
This is the fifth time they've done it. It has never been for a modeling agency other than their own look at how hot we
is
are.
Is her daughter over 18?
She's 20.
She okay, yeah, good. Now I don't feel like a creep.
They also filmed a video in which they took turns using an old camera to record each other, whoa, showing off their curves and lingerie and feeling the fabric on one another's lace sets. Now, look, I am extremely close with both of my girls.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine... Yeah. Any scenario under which I would say to them, hey, let's strip down to our underwear and take photos of each other. That to me sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
Well, that is how Heidi Klum kind of became well known.
It is.
Well, you did say that you are promoting talking about sex with your children.
Well, yeah, but that's different than...
Why not do it in lingerie?
This is art. Great point. Istic.
I'm not saying it's not.
Can I see the picture?
No, again? They look incredible.
Just Google it. There's many.
Okay. Don't mind if I do.
HR is going to come visit you for doing that on your computer.
And when yeah,
they were going to come visit, they would have come visit a long time ago.
Yeah. It's.
Why do I feel dirty right now?
Here's one of the comments. Am I the only one thinking this is a bit weird? Like, who dresses up in lingerie really with their mom and prances around taking photos? I mean, nothing wrong. It's like something that, like, when I'm looking to buy lingerie and stuff, one person commented, I just don't know that I would. You know, oh, yeah. It's very, some of the photos are erotic.
I found it myself.
Some of the photos are very erotic. And I just, when you think erotic.
Well, that's not erotic.
Oh, give me a break.
Can we go back to the part where you said that they were feeling the lace on the other
one's fabric. Look at the
lingerie.
I think it's hard for people to think erotic, ... in the same frame of mind as your mom. Mm. You know, good for them. They look incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Was it captioned Lincoln bio or
that's
something?
That's enough.
Lord.
Lots of pictures.
Here's one more.
I told you.
Absolutely ridiculous thing from the New York Post today. Apparently on the catwalk.
You've lost Scott.
I know.
Are you talking?
The new trend is one-legged pants. And if you look this up in your, like, just think in your mind's eye how ridiculous that would look. It's exactly how ridiculous it looks. Here's the story. One-legged pants are the jarring new trend taking over for 2025.
Isn't that called a dress?
One-legged trousers stepped up as the unlikely runway trend that no one could have predicted as multiple designers sent asymmetrical pieces down the catwalk during fashion's biggest month. Let me just give you a picture. It's what you think. It's a pair of, do you call them pants?
So it's, okay, so the other leg is bare while the one leg is covered in pant.
Yes.
That actually makes sense. It's, you know.
No, it doesn't, Dan.
Temperature regulation, you know.
So one leg is.
I do sleep with one leg out. I will give you that.
Well, everybody
does.
At least for the mature woman?
If you like them, yes.
I need pajama pants that have one leg, and then there is no more leg out, leg in, leg out, leg in, leg out, leg in.
Is there a specific leg that you always keep out?
Nope.
See, I could go either way. From the text line regarding the Heidi Klum pictures, thank you and damn.
They look great. That doesn't make it less weird.
True.
Shocking. I don't think it's shocking. I just think it's a little odd. Like one-legged pants. Why? Just because you can do something doesn't mean you do it.
For the same reason that everything that they ever prance down the, is it called the catway?
Catwalk.
Catwalk.
The catway.
Come on.
Whatever. I was conflating.
Well versed in the fashion world.
Well, yeah. Can you tell?
Do your turn on the catwalk.
Yeah. None of that stuff anybody would ever wear in real life.
This is for the next season. It will be certainly perceived as a very fashion forward piece. No, it will not.
It's basically shorts meet pants. One leg is exposed, one leg is not. It's
not. And then next year it'll be opposite.
Right.
And it'll be all the rage.
Looks absolutely ridiculous, and I do not think it will be all the rage.
So you're saying you're not going to buy it?
No. I like my pants normal, as in covering.
So why does anybody pay any attention to what goes down the catwalk?
I don't
because
know.
Because nobody ever wears that stuff or buys
know.
It.
I don't know. It's so dumb.
From the text line regarding the Heidi Klum pictures, you're confusing sensual with sexual. There's a difference.
Not when it comes to my mom, it's not.
Also from the text line, wow, so many pictures in so little time.
Okay. That is not why I brought that up.
But we're glad you did.
Oh, you're welcome.
Because
we're all better for it.
The three weirdos on this show are now Googling Heidi Klum and daughter.
I left that story out of the stack. Thought it was too weird.
Dana swept on in and picked it right
up.
Yeah,
you did. Yeah, you did.
In the last hour, by the way, because people were so outraged by this, I do not want to make it a topic. It is too sad. The Florida man who abandoned and chained his dog to a fence right as the floodwaters were rising in the hurricane
has
been
gone to hell?
Arrested Good. And charged.
Good.
A video of the dog, now named Trooper, because it was a highway patrol trooper that saved the dog, went viral. The dog has now been adopted.
Good.
The man has been charged with felony animal cruelty and faces years in prison. And I'm telling you, you know, hell hath no fury.
That's right.
Like people during a hurricane that see video of a dog chained to a fence.
I mean, first of all, if you're going to abandon the dog, which he clearly did, at least give the dog a fighting chance of survival.
Yep. How old is this idiot? Dog's original name was Jumbo, and the dog owner said he originally abandoned Jumbo because, quote, he couldn't find anyone to pick up the dog. But to your point,
then
you
just
idiot,
let it
just
run.
Let him go.
At least give him a shot. Great point. Basketball players in college wear these sorts of pants all the time where they one leg
those
is...
Those are compression pants for your arteries or whatever.
Oh, my.
Isn't that what that's for? So you don't have a heart attack?
Compression sleeves, yes.
Yes.
Yes, but not for
Why
your arteries.
Why are you
arteries,
laughing?
We're calling
exactly.
it an artery now?
Oh, my God. Is that what those are for?
Well, it's...
Then why do they only wear them on one leg?
That's what I can't figure out. But
it's for your knee or other parts of your body that you need to provide support for.
There's a reason
I don't know how you guys walk around with those
as
things.
As a mature woman, I would... Never mind.
Aw, hell.
When I hear the word compression...
What do you think we're compressing?
Leg sleeves. I think you're going on an airplane and you don't want to have happen what happened to Derek Thomas, and so you compress them.
So for men, yes, they hold certain things in place.
Correct.
Like your knee.
That's what you're compressing.
For both men and women, because women wear them as well, and the reference from the text line is regarding the WNBA and how all of the players have one compression leg and one non-compression leg.
It's like a trend. It's a
Okay, if the WNBA players are wearing them, that has nothing to do with the other thing that you guys are referencing.
It also has nothing to do with your arteries. It has to do with keeping your muscles in place because that is your plant leg, so you are constantly making jarring motion with that leg. And the more room that your muscle has to move, the more likely you are to get injured. And so it compresses everything to keep it all nice and tight.
Good.
And where it's supposed to be.
Thank you, Sam.
Kind of like on a man
all
with
right.
other things.
Like your knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your knee.
Or your ankle.
Or your artery.
They also have compression shirts for your elbows and shoulders. And
mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sam. Yeah.
Wrists.
Thank you.
Chest.
Okay.
That's called a sports bra, Sam.
Another name for it, for women, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hang on now.
Compress those suckers right into place.
That's not true. Men wear sports bras in athletics.
Bros.
True.
What?
They're called bros.
No.
It's a man's ear!
Do you know why?
Why?
I'm not trying to be gross. I'm being honest. Men, especially soccer players, because the material that their jerseys are made out of will make your nipples
bleed. It chafes.
It does more than chafe.
All right.
And so they wear sports bras so that the material doesn't rub up against their chest and make them bleed in a certain tender spot.
Got it.
And so like a midriff bro helps protect that area.
Got it.
Why are we calling them bros?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Seinfeld fan, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Learned so much on this program every single day.
It protects their arteries.
913.
And their veins.
Okay. All right, boys and girls. 913-586-7798. Don't forget to sign up for the Dana and Parks 4th Annual Cornhole Tournament. All proceeds go to benefit the Casey Pet Project. We have a limited number of slots, and you can register your cornhole team. It's this Saturday, by the way, by going to kmbz.com. Al Pacino says in his new book, Sonny Boy, that he almost got fired from The Godfather because producers wanted a bigger name like Ryan O'Neal, Robert Redford, or Warren Beatty.
If you go back and watch the show The Offer that Dana and I were so obsessed with, they go through all of that.
Yep. Oh, really? So this isn't new news?
No.
Oh.
But you can't imagine certain movies without... They're stars. But if you go back and look at almost any of your favorite movies, you can find who was the actor they wanted, who was the actor or actress they passed up.
Or who passed up the script.
Or who passed up the role.
Right. They stuck with Al because they literally couldn't afford anybody else.
Huh. We should look that up during the top. And I will during the top of the hour news break. Actors who passed on iconic roles. I bet there's a long list. Walgreens announcing today that it will shutter 1,200 stores over the next 3 years. and 500 locations next year alone as the drugstore giant seeks to slash $1 billion in costs. The Chicago-based pharmacy chain, which has roughly 8,700 locations nationwide, always right next to a CVS, told analysts today that one in four of its stores are unprofitable. Really? Even with all the pharmaceuticals that they sell? The closures were announced in June, but the company had not disclosed the number of affected stores at that time. Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the items they sell, if people think about it in advance, they will either buy it from the big box store they're going to get all of the other items they're already getting, or they will buy it online. They're going to avoid going to a place like Walgreens to buy it because it's going to be 20, 30% more expensive.
Fair point.
And with the push of online pharmacies,
yep. Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they're not even getting that surge anymore because there are insurance companies that will only pay for the online scripts.
Kansas City teen charged with murder has also been linked to Facebook Marketplace crime spree, according to court documents. Think long and hard again before you meet somebody online to buy something that you see on Facebook Marketplace. If you are going to meet, do it in the parking lot of a police department. The 18-year-old teen charged with second-degree murder is a suspect in at least five other crimes this year. Marshawn Gardner is alleged to have shot a man in the head in July.
Oh my.
He is also charged with armed criminal action and stealing connection with that crime. A probable cause statement shows the crime happened when Gardner showed up to buy a car listed on Facebook Marketplace in July. Instead of paying, he drove off in the car. The seller's neighbor noticed what happened, drove off after the stolen car. Shots were fired. Brown later died of his injuries. Detectives are now investigating a series of crimes involving listings on Facebook Marketplace around the time of that shooting. They believe Gardner is responsible for an April 2nd strong-armed street robbery, which ended in homicide, two on April 15th, one in May, and one in July.
You said teenager. Does it say specifically how old he is?
He is 18.
18.
Charge him as an adult.
Well, because he is an adult. That's right.
And for all of those crimes, there's no bundling. Stop bundling the crimes.
Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. News with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.